On September 26, 1982, one of my favorite movies of all time was released. It was based on the true story of two British track athletes. In the 1924 Olympics, Harold Abrahams, an English Jew, who ran to overcome prejudice, and Eric Liddell, a devout Scottish Christian who runs for the glory of God. It was a box office blockbuster, and everyone was talking about it. The film's title was inspired by the phrase "chariots of fire" from 2 Kings in the Bible. It describes Elijah being carried to heaven accompanied by chariots of fire. Chariots of Fire was nominated for 7 Academy Awards and won 4, including Best Picture and Best Original Screenplay. You might recall the theme song, you know, kind of an electronic thing. Remember, and all the runners are, you know, running on the beach at St. Andrews. Has anyone been to St. Andrews? Is it? Yeah, some people have. I was fortunate to go, and, you know, when I looked out there, I just could see those guys, you know, trucking down the beach and hear that that theme playing. It has been described by critics as one of the most inspiring, well-written, and beautiful movies ever made. Story went like this. After years of training and racing, two athletes are accepted to compete in the Olympics representing Great Britain in 1924 in Paris. When Luttrell discovers that his 100-meter race will be on a Sunday, he refuses to run, despite strong pressure from the Prince of Wales and the British Olympic Committee, because his Christian convictions prevent him from running on Sunday. But one of Luttrell's teammates, who has already won a silver medal in the 400-meter hurdles, offers to give his place up to Luttrell to race on the following Thursday. Luttrell gratefully accepts, and his religious convictions in the face of national athletic pride make headlines around the world. Everybody's talking about this. On the Sunday that he was to run the 100-meter race, he instead delivered a sermon at the Parish Church of Scotland. And he quotes from Isaiah 40, ending his sermon with, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Before Luttrell's race, as encouragement, one of the American runners, Jackson Schultz, hands Luttrell a note of support, quoting from 1 Samuel, "He that honors me, I will honor." Luttrell runs and defeats the American favorites and wins the gold medal, setting a new 400-meter world record of 47.6 seconds. Less is known about the fact that Luttrell went on to serve as a missionary in China, and all of Scotland mourned his death in 1945 in Japanese-occupied China. Men, Luttrell is an example of a leader, a man of great faith and conviction who understood that faithfully following Jesus requires service and self-sacrifice. Open your Bibles as we continue this morning our series on leadership, lessons from Paul's personal letter to Timothy. Timothy, Paul called Timothy his true child in the faith. So open your scriptures. When I was talking with Mark about doing this, and you know, he said, "Well, I want you to talk on 1 Timothy 12. I said, "Was that all it is?" You know, is that, yeah. He said, "Well, yeah, you can do something with that." So we're going to give it a shot here this morning, and I think we can. 1 Timothy 12 goes like this. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service." So what is Paul saying to us this morning in verse 12 about Jesus Christ appointing or putting him to service? First, notice that Paul is grateful for the opportunity to serve. He says, "I give thanks to Jesus Christ." So why was Paul so grateful? William Barclay, also a Scotsman like Liddell, gives four answers to that question in his commentary on 1 Timothy 12. First, it was because Paul chose him at a time when he was busy throwing his life away, persecuting Christ's followers. Paul did not choose Christ. Christ chose him. Remember the story on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. It goes like this. Paul fell to the ground and heard Jesus' voice. "Paul, Paul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Paul asked. "I am Jesus who you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Paul was changed from a persecutor of Christians into a servant of Christ at that moment. So the first lesson for us is to be thankful for the opportunity to serve the true living God. Paul was also thankful because Christ strengthened him and empowered him for the task of spreading the gospel to the Gentiles. Men, remember, Jesus will never give us a job to do without also giving us the strength and the power to do it. None of us are good enough, strong enough, wise enough, pure enough on our own to be Christ's servant. But if we humbly give ourselves up to Him, we can serve Him through the spiritual power that He gives to us, which He promises to abundantly give. Isaiah 41:10 goes like this. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So the second thing is to realize that any real power that we might have to serve God comes from Christ, not us, not our own human, feeble human power. The third thing that Barclay noted is that Paul thanked Jesus because Jesus trusted him. The verse says, "Considered me trustworthy." Paul realized that God declared him faithful. Paul does not claim that he was faithful. And God recognized it, that God considered me trustworthy, and this in turn motivated Paul. When he was chosen, Paul was a hateful persecutor of the church. He was not good, he was not faithful or trustworthy enough to serve God. But God decided in his wisdom to make Paul faithful and therefore useful. So our third lesson is there's no need to wait around till you're good enough. You know, go ahead and serve. And finally, Paul was grateful to God for appointing me to service. Paul was not good enough to serve. He did not earn the appointment God gave him. Paul did not say he separated himself for God's work. To paraphrase Paul's words from Ephesians 8, "For it is by grace we have been saved, through faith, and this not from ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so none of us can boast." And I love these final words. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So God's already prepared it for us. We've just got to be open to realizing that. Paul understood that it was for service, not his personal honor or glory, that he had been chosen and appointed. Paul called himself a bondservant of Christ. So the fourth lesson this morning is that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Men, almost every Friday morning since 1986, it's been a long time ago since I came to this fellowship, I've had the privilege of hearing an encouraging gospel message and experiencing rich fellowship with men at my table who challenged me to answer the call to lead and serve. The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ presented at this ministry has literally changed my life. And I'm grateful to Bob Day for inviting me to come. How many of you, by show of hands, how many of you were invited here by another man? I think that's everybody. And tell me how you got here if you weren't invited by another man. I'd like to know. Maybe you saw it online or something. Maybe we invite all you guys online to come on down to 1277 Lenox Park. It's really pretty awesome here. Under Mark Maynard's, Katie Lacey's, and Gene Mason's admirable leadership, our table leaders successfully pivoted us to a virtual fellowship over the past year and a half. We have 31 awesome table leaders, 31 assistant table leaders at 5 locations who have continued to lead us using Zoom technology. And through technology, many more men have experienced our unique fellowship. But there's a lot going on behind the scenes. I mean, we come here and everything's set up and it's great and we have a good time. But Mark tells me there are 494 men participating in the fellowship currently. Thousands have come over the past 39 years. Thousands. About 100 men volunteer time on a regular basis making this fellowship happen. Board members, speaker corps, video team, online host, day of golf volunteers, coffee and donuts, although I didn't see any coffee and donuts here this morning. I mean, Dave, come on, Dave Dorries. What's that? Yeah. Okay, well, I know you're going to come back, right? Men, the challenge for each of us this morning is this. If you are like Paul, are thankful, strengthened, trustworthy for what Christ has done for you, ask how you can serve him through this ministry. Where do you feel appointed to serve, as Paul was? The returns from serving are out of this world. Scientific research has undeniably confirmed that serving others is good for you. People who regularly help others are indeed happier and, get this, on average, live longer. According to Time Magazine, MRI technology revealed that giving activates the same parts of the brain, listen to this, that are stimulated by food and sex. So it can't get any better than that. And the gift of your time is often more valuable than your gift of money. And we all have the same 24 hours in a day. Oswald Chambers said this, God gets me into a relationship with himself whereby I understand his call. Then I do things out of sheer love. Serving God is our deliberate love gift. So where is your place of service in our fellowship? Here's some things that you could consider. Invite another man. All of us got here by being invited. So, you know, extend an invitation to another man to come and join us. You can lead a man to authentic fellowship with other men centered on the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Consider becoming a table leader. Your servant leadership will enable more men to experience what you have experienced here. And we have a training program for table leaders. And this is a tough one. I've done this, been through this 3 or 4 times myself. Divide your table if it's gotten too large. This is a sacrifice, but also a principle of growth and one important way that this fellowship has sustained itself over the last 4 decades. Another thing, we have 5 locations. Visit another location and encourage the men there. And we will need more location leaders as we plan to grow in the years ahead. Pray for our ministry. Simply attend and prepare your lesson for each Friday and prepare for the talk and your table subject. But now as we close, let's look at the rest of the story on Eric Liddell. While serving as a missionary in China, he was captured by the Japanese and sent to an internment camp where he lived for 2 years until he died in 1945, ravaged by malnourishment. But the thing many people don't know is that Winston Churchill managed to secure Liddell's freedom in a prisoner exchange. But he declined and instead offered his place to a pregnant woman who was also in the camp, saving not only her life, but her unborn child's life as well. Perhaps he should be remembered more for this selfless act of service than his outstanding athletic achievements. Let's close with prayer. Father God in heaven, we praise your name this morning. Thank you for this day and for life itself, and especially for this fellowship, Lord. I pray for your blessings on all the men present here and the men online. Thank you for strengthening us and considering us trustworthy to serve you, and help us to serve in a way that would please and glorify you. I pray that out of sheer love for what you have done and do for each of us, that we would be grateful, humble, and motivated to worship you by obediently serving you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good time at your tables.